The Mill Creek City Council to order, and we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mayor Pruitt?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw?
Here.
Councilmember Bond?
Here.
Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Here.
Councilmember Mead?
Here.
Councilmember Steckler?
Here.
Okay, we have audience communications first up, and we have three people signed up to speak. Will Nelson is up first.
Will Nelson, 14925 29th Drive Southeast. I see Public Works has put the ice around the road, so my thanks to Public Works, which is nice. Regarding the agenda tonight, I noticed tonight when I looked at it before I came down that an interesting item had been removed. And I would ask in regards to the farm, when that comes up, that the agenda, once it's posted on the agenda on Friday, that it not be changed so that everybody knows that that thing's going to happen on that date and we don't have backroom things going on, changes, so that everybody gets a fair shake at the agenda at the park. That's it.
Herbie Martin? President.
Good evening, the Mill Creek family. My name is Herbie Martin. I live at 14119 42nd Avenue Southeast, Mill Creek, Washington. Good evening, Council. It appears that we've come full circle at the end of this year, 2018. Congratulations to our city council member who has just been elected into the Washington State House of Representatives. I have a request that you all do some soul searching on filling this vacancy seat. I have brought it to the attention of our council before that our city is made up of almost 25% of people of the diverse population. I have traveled around the city, and I see that most of the institutions around the city is intentional about diversity. I go to Jackson High School, and I see teachers that look like me and from the diverse background. I go to the dentist's office, and they don't have to select the dentist, but the dentists are from a diverse background. I go to my health care clinic, and the doctors I see are diverse there. But when I come back to the council, where the civic duty of government is to what individuals can't do for themselves, the government, the civic duty of government is supposed to work in the best interest of the people they serve. And we are at this moment of truth is wrapped up in this moment, the past, the present, and the future. And I would like for you all to help me when I write in my journal, what am I supposed to tell my grandchildren of this critical moment right here and right now? Because when I reflect back of the last round, you said you had a very good pool of candidates of diverse people, but the history has always gone in one trajectory. Thank you.
Evening, Mayor, Council Members. John Raymer, Mill Creek Resident, 831 148th Street Southeast. I'm here tonight on behalf of the AMVETS Post 2018, which is your local military veterans post. We had a meeting last night, and we floated an idea where we would like to get a flag that has flown over the City Hall and put it in a nice memorial plaque and make it part of the AMVETS memorabilia and stuff to pass on to our future generations and other members. So we would like to ask a donation or a gift of a flag that is either flown over City Hall or over the Veterans Day, Veterans Monument, Memorial Park, and so we can do something nice with it and memorialize it. That's just a request for a flag. All right, thank you.
That, we'll move on to the agenda.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening, Council. At the last City Council meeting, you authorized me to execute an agreement with the executive search firm of Peckham and McKinney, which I'm prepared to do following discussion and direction this evening from City Council. The agenda item tonight allows the City Council to discuss the schedule for a kickoff meeting with the consultant and also to determine who should be involved in those meetings, both individually as well as a group setting with the consultant, as that person then prepares the city manager recruitment profile for purposes of the recruitment. The executive search consultant is here this evening in the event that you have any questions. It just so happened that he was also here on business with another jurisdiction nearby tomorrow, so it worked out for his schedule to be here tonight. He is available to hold individual meetings with council or group meetings or with other stakeholders of the city that we direct towards him on December 10th if we choose that schedule between the hours of 8 a.m. and 1 p.m., and then also able to hold a conference call with City Council during your regularly scheduled meeting on the 11th. I also understand that there are council members that may want to discuss an alternative schedule for the recruitment of the city manager tonight, and so this, of course, allows for that opportunity. And with that, I'll just sort of direct it back to the council for feedback and discussion about this matter.
Sorry, sir, I wasn't, what is your name?
Madam Mayor and council members, good evening, and city staff. My name is Andrew Gorgay. I go by Drew. And I, in keeping with your record, 513 Easy Street, Glenwood Springs, Colorado. 7 others. And myself.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
One of the concerns, I think, from folks was, regarding going forward, was that with several council members up for re-election next year, I think the number was 5, that it might taint the pool. I'm paraphrasing here, of course. Your professional point of view on that, if you would.
The reality of every city manager, both somebody new and somebody who's been in the position, is that her or his bosses, so to speak, are almost guaranteed to change every 2 years. And that's a risk of the profession. So I think that candidates looking at this opportunity certainly will be aware that, because council member Mead is going to the legislature and you're appointing someone new, and there are 4 other seats that are up, that's the business case that she or he is entering. Some people are scared by that opportunity. Others are absolutely attracted to that opportunity, and I want to be clear why. Let's say that none of you choose to run again. None of the 5 sitting members choose to run again. You get 5 new people. As a candidate, what that means is the prospect of long-term stability, that you're starting effectively the same time as 5 out of 7 members of council, and that you can grow with that council over time. I don't think there are term limits here. So, you know, the prospect there actually could be very good. I've had a chance to speak with your interim city manager and to do some of my own reading. I'm happy to give just a short summary that may help you in your decision. And with your permission, I'm happy to give that. All right. I first wanted to thank you very much for selecting Peckham and McKinney for the opportunity. Peckham and McKinney is based in Sacramento, California. They are one of the nation's top executive recruiting firms, and your citizens need to know that. They need to know, and you need to know, that we are extremely good at this. I am not dissuaded, discouraged, or frankly even concerned by some of the splashy headlines in the last month. That motivates me. I'm also aware of the history of the position in this jurisdiction, as pointed out in the article and other places. You should not be concerned about that. At the same time, you should not ignore that. And I would, as I'm doing right now, point a flashlight on it. You have nothing to hide. You're an extremely attractive community in one of the most attractive parts of the most attractive states in the country. And it's my job to learn as much as I can about Mill Creek while I'm here. I had initially proposed today as the day for your kickoff in my proposal. That wasn't possible because of scheduling and so forth. I'm happy to come back this coming Monday in the hours that your city manager gave you just now, from 8 to approximately 1. I have a commitment the following morning in Colorado, so I need to catch that 325 flight out of your airport on Monday afternoon. But 5 hours is plenty of time, particularly with follow-up meetings and so forth, for me to get what I need to then help you. If that, for some reason, is too soon for you, I can come back. I believe January 7 and 8 were the dates that I gave to Mr. Stowe, if you would like more time. And the reason that you would want to start next week is so that you don't lose the month of December. You can make that a productive month in the search. I have to gather all this information and synthesize it and then reflect it back to you to make sure that I have what you are looking for correctly, that my understanding of your expectations of me in this process are clear, and that I can then go out and do my work. The actual search, after the candidate profile is produced, is about 6 weeks. We set a firm filing deadline. We absolutely insist that you commit to two dates. One is a date when I would return for the recommendation of candidates. That is effectively the so-called short list. There's a great deal of sensitivity to diversity in our firm. Bobby Peckham is not only one of the leading recruiters in the country, she is clearly one of the leading women recruiters in the country, and her partner Phil McKenney, they've always been committed to diversity and in high quality in our management recommendations to you. So anyway, you commit to the recommendation of candidates date. I will then come to you with a short list. 7 to 10 names is a nice ballpark. In advance of my coming here, you will receive a book. Each of you will receive a book that has a summary page on each candidate. You'll have their resume, their cover letter, responses to a written questionnaire generated by me based on what you tell me you are looking for, so that you'll have a sense not only of their communication skills, their writing ability, but also their philosophy on the issues most important to you. And then I will have conducted pre-screening interviews with all of those persons so that you will have me here to effectively bring the paper to life, so that you'll know more about these prospective persons. And then from that list, you will generate a still shorter list. It's completely up to you how many persons you want to invite to the finalist process. 3, 4, 5 is a typical number. And with you, I will also help craft that process. And that's the second date that you would commit to. The reason those commitments are important, there are two. Number one, it keeps things moving for you and for the candidates, and it also clarifies expectations and helps the public know exactly what you're doing in advance, when, where, what. Very clear. In terms of who you wanted to involve in a kickoff meeting, my strong preference is to meet with each of you one-on-one so I can get your ideas about what you think I should be looking for. Try to meet with your city manager, with your staff as a group, and then with anyone else in the community that you think it's important for me to talk to. And by way of transparency, if you wanted to, I'll give you my phone number and my email, and any citizen in this community who wants to opine about what they think I should be looking for is happy to, I'm happy to take all that information. So the key thing is to get started. And I appreciate your letting me summarize like that. Thank you.
Uh, Let me just ask. So if we get started next Monday, and then we give you information, you're going to synthesize it and get back to us for review, so we would actually, in December, while you're working and we're gone, you would get back to us like by the end of the December, the early January, so we can get the process going?
Oh, gosh. I would hope to be much faster than that. I will meet with you on Monday, and I would it's sort of a two-step review process by you. I will take all the information from all of the interviews, both with you, your staff, and your community members, and you will get back from me a single document in Microsoft Word, 1,400 to 1,600 words. You will then have an opportunity to edit that document, and you'll say, it was August 30, 1983 that we were incorporated, not 84. Listen more carefully, Drew. And make any other changes that you might want. And then I will take that edited text, and you will receive back from us a second document in PDF form that will be the actual brochure laid out with by our graphics team, with photographs provided by you, with our branding and so forth. And that review at that point by you should be very quick. So if you feel the need for all of council to do those edits, then you wouldn't be able to do it until all of council was done. If you sort of, trust your staff or delegate a subset or something like that so you can act quickly, the sooner that document is done, the sooner I can go out and do my work. And it will be a national search. Your citizens should know that, too. Our clients are exclusively in the Western United States. I'm about to begin my seventh recruitment in your geography here tomorrow morning. Our firm has done searches in Washington dating back some time, and I'm thrilled to be doing this for you. Thank you for that.
Can you say what city you're recruiting for?
I can. Bothell, Washington. Which is helpful because it gives me some insights on...
What position is it? Is it not the city manager?
No. Okay. I'll begin a recruitment tomorrow for finance director. And the other positions that I've filled there are fire chief, assistant city manager, community development director, human resources director. We did a search for a parks and recreation director and presented them with three national experts. They decided to take that position in-house. And most recently, we filled an economic development position there, too. With respect to searches for the chief executive for city managers, I've done that in or assistants in Colorado, Arizona, California, and, multiples in those states, yeah.
What's your average search time? I mean, this schedule looks pretty aggressive. I mean, as I read it, we're hoping to have a selection by March 1st. How realistic is that?
Well, if you're looking at the original schedule, it would have had the kickoff today, so I would not be able to guarantee March 1st. But if we started on December 10th, you're basically just adding a week or 10 days to the schedule that you've been presented, and we can finalize those dates next Monday when I'm here in person and next Tuesday night when I appear by phone. So mid-March would complete your finals, and then who you choose is how soon that person could start is dependent entirely on whether or not they're currently employed, whether they need to disengage, relocate, or whether they're immediately available.
Is that consistent with what your searches for a chief executive of a city have been, time-wise?
Yes. And I've had two searches in Colorado where the city council didn't have November elections. They had April elections. One had April elections, one had November. And in both cases, I was trying to beat the clock so that the most experienced city council members, town council members, could make the decision, which just personal privilege, I think, benefits every community where you have the most experienced members making this decision on behalf of the community and, with all due respect, on behalf of the new council. Think of the alternative. If you would then be letting a brand new council, almost saddling them with the most important decision, one of the most important decisions that you have to make. And there's an issue of fairness there. And while the newly elected members may say, we should have been the ones, you know, in your case, that's 13 months from now. And can you really leave the community and your staff and yourselves in limbo that long?
Marie, have you dealt with a city with the colorful history that Mill Creek has had before?
Yes.
And how could you walk us through kind of how that process went for you?
I will. And everything that I'm telling you is public record. Turlock, California. I placed the city manager there. The search started and ended this year. Their current city manager, the one that I placed, began, I believe, in July, either late June or July. In that case, they too had a municipality to the north that controlled the major paper. In that case, it's Modesto and the Modesto Bee that was just headline after headline about Turlock. There was a mayor who candidly was voted out of office, who had sort of a colorful history himself of confrontation. They let their city manager go. He turned around and brought employment claims. They settled those claims. They had already hired a search firm before us to help them try to find a replacement. That firm was unsuccessful. So what I walked into this spring were a lawsuit, headlines, a previously failed search, and somewhat of a deadline. And on much the same schedule as the one I'm proposing to you, we've put a qualified, experienced manager in place who's calm that. They are post-election, and everything is proceeding smoothly. I grant you that time will, you know, have to tell there, but I'll take that bet. You're welcome.
Drew, nice to meet you, and thank you for your candor. I've enjoyed it very much so. And my comments that are kind of come up are not any way related back to having you here, but I just want to kind of – I'm a little confused here. We as a council have had a discussion about recruitment, and we had some debate about recruitment. We had debate about the recruiting firms. So we set up a committee of three that sat down and went through all these recruitment forms and selected and reviewed your qualifications and everyone else's qualifications. Good questions, though. But we then came back with a recommendation. We had another discussion, a debate, about whether or not to go ahead with our recruitment, and a second one. And we had a motion. We passed the motion. We voted, not unanimously, but the majority was to move ahead with our recruitment. I'm kind of an action guy, and I'm a little frustrated that every time we kind of move up, we're moving back again. And last meeting, I was all ready to move forward, and yet we're now pulling back again, and we didn't have our meetings with you, because there's some other issues. And much as I love hearing what you're talking about, I want to hear why we stopped again. Let's have the open discussion about it, because we had the vote to move ahead, and then we have not moved ahead. So, council members, why are we – Bob mentioned that he was told to hold back. Let's have a discussion about that. No offense to you. You're good stuff.
Thank you.
But I want to get the real stuff on the table.
I guess, council members, just to clarify, the reason why the agenda bill, why this is on the agenda this evening, is because I'd only heard from two council members that were available to have the discussion this evening. And therefore, the discussion tonight, as it was scheduled, was to determine what schedule you want to move forward with, whether it be on the 10th or January.
So we're just having a dialogue here about moving ahead with the next steps with Peckham and
McKenna.
That's the agenda. Matter before you, to the extent that you want to have more discussions, that's up to the council. But the reason why
holding back on moving ahead,
well,
that's because you couldn't get a hold of people.
So we
haven't executed the professional services agreement yet to give you an opportunity to determine what the schedule is you want to move forward with. That hasn't delayed anything.
Okay.
The only thing that's delaying the discussion is when you want to move forward.
Okay.
Thank you. I happen to think Peckham McKenney is a great firm from the process we went through, and thank you for the extra things you've said tonight, Drew. That's great. I think they are the right choice, but timing is the objective for me. And I think the discussion we had last week and the decision we made last week was to proceed with Peckham and McKenney and figure out what the next step was. That was the motion that was made. That was the agreement that was made. So What I proposed last week didn't go, but I'm going to give it another shot tonight because I think we have yet to decide finally to make this move. I think there's some value in us thinking about the timing of whether Peckham McKinney starts right now for recruitment process or whether we delay that. As we have already alluded earlier, I think whether some stability from our past, our recent past, which has been in the newspaper and has been difficult for us, been difficult for staff, us, council, difficult for staff, difficult for the community, that was thing one. Thing two, someone brought up, and I think it's a very good point that the prospect of the potential change in the council between now and the next year could be in a factor in terms of finding good candidates. For me, looking through as I reviewed the budget document that we're going to talk about tonight, I see some very important things in the work plan. It reminded me, and it should remind all of us, last year I think we were making some good progress on doing what we should do as a council, which is representing our citizens as we set a vision and a mission for this community and develop a strategic plan that really lays out what we want our staff to do in terms of implementing a work plan. And our budget's all about that. But we suspended that strategic plan through all the hoopla of last year. I'm excited about getting back to that work. I would love us to get out there really soon. January, February would be my preference for a council retreat. Let's get that stuff going again. There's an appendix in the budget document that's about a SWOT analysis, and it's great the staff has tried to extend that forward. I don't think that's a staff-level function. That's a leadership function. We are elected to be leaders of this community. And I think that's something that we should execute on. Again, I want to get going on that. I don't really want to wait more months to get a new city manager who will come here, and yes, they might start on March XX date because this process, Drew's guy is aggressive, and I think he can do it. But that new person is going to have to kind of get their feet wet and get acquainted. And so I just see us not spinning our wheels, but waiting, once again waiting to get on with important business. We've been waiting since last March or April to move forward. I don't really want it to be a year plus before we get on with things. There's lots of projects in the plan, and I'm really proud of staff stepping up. I think I'm a little bit scared for the number of projects they've stepped up to, but they're in essentially all areas. Big public works projects, big things to do in the finance department, big things in HR department, big things in communications and marketing. I want staff to be able to move forward with those, and I think under our current leadership we're doing pretty well with that. And as an example, I'm excited about doing something with Mill Creek Boulevard rather than just digging it up and putting new sewer pipes underneath it. And we've got stuff in the budget talking about putting that plan together, not just from the public work standpoint, but what we can do to help those private landowners could possibly redevelop that property by rezoning it or looking at different kinds of more economically advantageous ways for them to use their property. So let's use this as an opportunity to further the economic development initiatives of the city. I think our current city manager is doing a great job of that. That is in his wheelhouse in particular, and so I would love to see him continue. So the motion I'm going to make is that we extend the contract of our current interim city manager for 9 months. That's a motion.
God, I'm sorry. I haven't been.
Got a motion. Well, hold on.
Yeah, it's in conflict with the motion. The motion.
There was no other motion on the floor. I need a second.
I will second it for purposes of further discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Now we're having discussion. Do you have anything else?
Seconded?
I've spoken my motion. The seconder may speak.
If not, Councilmember Vaughn, you're up, and then Councilmember Strecker.
I'm not going to support the motion. We need to have some more discussion about a variety of things. I believe all of us were contacted by staff last week. The leadership team did a conference call expressing some concerns over a lack of stability should we move forward to replace the city manager right away. If we want to discuss those concerns, we as a body can. If we want to discard them, we can. We can move forward, but I think there's a little bit of discussion. I had turned my mic on to answer Councilmember Steckler's question of, hey, what happened? Well, there was two things. One, we simply had a logistics issue that the city manager recommended we delay because we weren't able to schedule meetings and whatnot. That was fine. I was in favor of that. We just couldn't put that together. The second issue is, have we changed our mind? we can change that. It's well within our right to do so if we want. It's part of the frustrations of having seven equals as opposed to one individual calling all the decisions, and it can sometimes muddy it up, and we can move forward on that. But that is a part of the design of this system does cause for some inefficiencies, and I understand your frustrations. But I won't be supporting this motion. I think we have some other discussions to have before we get to that point.
My big concern, Councilmember Todd, when you presented that motion was, in our last meeting, you were on the conference call phone. As I recall from that meeting, we had a long dialogue about extending the search, extending Bob Stowe, and my recollection from the motion was not just to retain the search firm, but to move ahead with the search. So I can't support your motion because I think it's in conflict with the motion that we passed at the last meeting. It was not to just move ahead with the search firm. It was to move ahead with the firm and the search, because I recall we did have the dialogue about not moving ahead and retaining Bob. That being said, that's why I was so excited when we tried to rush a motion through, because I think we do have some more dialogue, and I agree with Councilmember Bond. I have some grave concerns over not moving ahead with the search. I have heard from the staff. I have talked with the staff. I had a number of calls with the staff. I understand and respect their opinion at wanting to continue to work with Bob and not move ahead with a search and a new city manager. That is the only action that I've seen has taken place since our last council meeting, and that's the action I think we need to dialogue about and talk about openly. My feeling is that Bob is a great leader. We've made that very clear, and he has done a great job of empowering our leadership to control and grow in their own individual discipline, something they have really flourished under. They're not micromanaged, they're not controlled, and they are flourishing, and I can see why they want to retain that. There are other things that a leadership will bring, a city manager would bring to our community, not just the management of the individuals, a key component, but they also bring that leadership oversight to the entire process so that our disciplines don't become silos in and of themselves to their own particular discipline. And I think we need that leadership. I also think that we are at the most optimum, perfect time to do a search. I'm totally in conflict with anything else that anyone has said, because I look at the situation right now. We've had a great interim person come in. We have a great biennium plan put together. The person who comes in here is going to be able to come in and grow with the community. We don't have to make an immediate choice because we've got somebody who's agreed to help us through the search over the next few months, which is a wonderful thing. And as for new council members, I can't think, I have to agree with what Drew was saying, if it's part of the job, as I've said before in this meeting. And the other factor is, when you get new council members as a city manager, you're the person who onboards those city managers, those council members. It's an opportunity to develop a relationship with them, a great time for you to grow with them. If we wait until Bob is ready to go in 9 months, or Bob has another project he has to go to, because he is been very on board. He's a consultant. He's working for us part-time, not full-time. He may get another project. That could change things immediately. I think we're at the time right now to move ahead with the recruitment, and I think if we don't move ahead with the recruitment, we're doing a tremendous disservice. In any way, I respect leadership, your opinions, and I appreciate you speaking them and letting us know. I personally appreciate that. But I also let you know in the conversations I didn't really support it. I have my own feelings for it, which I explained to you, and I'm explaining today. I'm done.
I won't be supporting the motion either. I think the representative of Peckhamin McKinney, Drew here, has addressed any concerns that I have had, and I think has laid them out very carefully. And I agree with the comments from Councilmember Steckler and Bond. Nothing to do with the staff's wants and needs here. It has nothing to do with the quality of work from Acting City Manager Stowe. This was a temporary Band-Aid, a temporary fix to handle the situation. It is time to move on, and I'll be voting in that fashion. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw and Councilmember Todd.
think having this discussion wasn't intended to be controversial. We had some new information that we didn't have last week, and I know I wanted to have this discussion just to see if it changed anyone's mind. I'm sorry?
I didn't think it was
complicated. Okay. Well, I get the sense that some people are, why are we doing this? But there's no right answer. I see the benefits of some stability for a few months. You know, either way, I think we're talking about possibly retaining Bob through part of next year. He's going to be with us probably for 3 to 5 months anyway. I agree with the motion. I'm not sure it's the right thing to do. My caution would be, if we do decide to stay the course and start in with the search, I hope that we don't settle to pick someone when we get down to finalists. That's my biggest concern, is I have confidence in Drew that he'll be able to bring us qualified candidates. I have concerns of what that pool is going to be like, and I hope we don't select someone just for the sake of selecting one, unless it's the person that we think is right for the city if we do decide to move forward. So.
Yeah, thank you. And I just want to clarify, this was, and I'm not the kind of guy who normally takes credit for an idea, but this was my idea. With my past general management experience, I said, I think this is something we should explore as a council. And the information, at least from what I could hear on the phone last week, and I apologize, I couldn't hear all the comments. I didn't have the benefit of being here. What I think I heard someone say, or maybe I gathered in the cracks between the words people were saying, was that there was a sense that maybe staff was anxious to have a permanent new city manager and was not interested in having a part-time city manager. And so I think that was the new information. And if staff reached out to people, I think that was their initiative to reach out and say, here's what we think, because they recognized that in hearing this discussion face-to-face last week, I think some of them may have thought that their feelings and their understanding and opinions were not done. This was not at the properly brought into the conversation. It was not at the behest of staff that this was brought up. This was something that I thought up. I still think it's an idea that has merit. But if staff doesn't want to go that, or if council doesn't want to go that way, that's fine. And again, I think this is the right firm. You know, right guy, right attitude. But look at the Turlock story and think about what Councilmember Holtzclaw said, and I agree with him. If the first firm down in Turlock was unsuccessful, they may not have been as good. Drew's better. I believe that.
I do stipulate to that.
I would too. But that's the danger. If we go out there and Drew, even though he's phenomenal and his firm is phenomenal, and they come back, and because of the situation, we get a ho-hum array of five candidates, I'd be happier if we said, let's postpone this and start over again. Let's send Drew back to the well, because getting a ho-hum candidate is not what we need. This city deserves the best. This city, and I'm all about finding the best. And so my idea was, how do we make it so we can find the best? But you've all made some good points about we do have a good plan. We do have something that somebody could pick up and hopefully go with. And that's probably one of our interview questions. Have you read our budget document? Have you read through our strategic plan? And let's have an upfront discussion before we hire somebody on how many things they think they want to change. If somebody wants to come in and say, I need to take 3 months and evaluate how we move forward, I'm not going to be as happy as if somebody says, I think I'm ready to be off and running, and let's take this and go with it. So it's an important part of our evaluation process that Drew's also taking notes on, it looks like. So that's good. Thanks.
So the new information that I got to answer Councilmember Steckler's point is that I didn't realize last week in our conversation that Bob was willing to stick around. And I was open to him sticking around because I like the idea of continuity. As Councilmember Todd was saying, we've established now a budget and a plan. We've worked for this entire year to get something set up. And so to have a leader who created that with us walk us through the beginning pieces of it is why I'd be in support of this idea. I also like the idea of there being space in between drama that we've had over the last year and when we end up hiring somebody. I won't be around for the ultimate decision, and so I've been trying to say that's the new information that I got, and that's why I'd be in support of Councilmember Todd's motion.
I will be opposing the motion. We knew when we were going through the drama about the how many council people would be up for election. That was a known thing. We took the action that we took. I think the city's ready to move on. It is time to move on. And there is no way that I am going to select or approve my one vote for a mediocre candidate. You know, Drew says he can deliver a good candidate. If he doesn't deliver a good candidate, it'll be back to the pond. And you'll have to, we'll have to, because sometimes who you get is just determined by who's looking at that time. So he can make all the calls he wants, but if somebody's not looking, but I saw what happened when the council has settled in the building, and it didn't end well. And we need somebody who's really good, and I'm excited about having you find that person, and I hope that we can find them sooner rather than later. Thank you. Mark?
Thank you, Mayor. Maybe our executive headhunter here can verify what I'm about to say, or and feel free to discredit it as well. But we had some comments at the last meeting about another city, so and how they resolved this. So I started Googling city managers and city council. You want to know something? We're not unique. We ain't alone. Guess what? This kind of silliness is going on all over the country, in all kinds of cities, everywhere. I honestly thought we were just this group of individuals suffering some weird bad luck, weird stuff. It's going on everywhere. It's the nature of the beast, and the folks that want jobs like this know that. Right or wrong?
You're definitely not the only municipality to experience turnover in the city management position, nor are you the only municipality to have turnover perhaps slightly larger than is typical. And part of my job in the kickoff process is to learn as much as I can about strategic planning and your transportation improvement plan, capital improvement plan, budget, your priorities. You just set a two-year budget, you know, all of those things, and to communicate them accurately so that, you really do have an excellent person at the reins to hold it together for you. Not all municipalities have that. I think that's a big advantage. And my job is to get the right person that fits with all those things and can start running, hit the ground running, and sort of run with you on through the next election cycle and beyond. I'm completely confident I can do that.
Thank you. If nothing else, I hope this it engendered a discussion that helped us reveal, and both to ourselves and to our potential consultant here, what's important to us and how important it is that we not rush the first part of this process, because I think it's going to have an impact on the last part of our process. If we think carefully about what's important to us in leadership, whatever it might be for our county, for our city council, and for the city overall, it's going to help him do a better job and us do a better job when it comes down to final decisions. So thanks, everybody, for the discussion. Appreciate it.
Madam Mayor, I want to make one point about the schedule and sort of the date that I had originally proposed, March 1st or what have you. It's not my schedule. If you want more time and you think that this is too soon and you want to make sure that we jump the holidays and give it a little longer, you can set whatever schedule that you want to. The only thing that I'm counseling you to do is that once you choose the dates for recommendation of candidates in the finalist process, that you stick to it and the filing deadline. That's all. And if this is a little uncomfortable and you're like, hey, we really appreciate your, you know, hard-charging guy, but we would feel better if we had just another week or another 2 weeks or however much time you want, that's the way it will be. It is always your search. It is not my search. I work for you.
The motion was to extend the contract for the current interim city manager for 9 months.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Nay.
Any
abstentions? Our first one-on-one interview.
John? Yes? Yes.
Vincent?
Got it.
Already taken.
Oh.
Is that a fact? Is it already taken?
Yes, with him. And if anybody can't meet with you, we can do the a phone conference, right? I mean, you've now seen us, so you have an idea of who we are.
Not only that, I think you're a very healthy council, and I think it's much more healthy to have a 5-2 vote and to stand up for what you believe and disagree, and then proceed as a unit than 7-0 or indifference or whatever. Every single person here is engaged and cares, and there are seven people, so you have seven different points of view. That's perfect. And I have you down for 8, Mayor.
You really need 8, though. Okay. Is that enough?
Well, that's enough for the date. The other question that I posed at the beginning of the meeting was to who do you want to have involved in helping the consultant?
Well, apparently that answers the question.
Is there anyone other than council staff that you would like to have involved with a consultant at this time to help shape the position profile?
Start. And as we move down the process, he said he would take emails from community, and our community is not shy.
Yeah, that's fine. And the only I would just state for your citizens that this part of the process is time sensitive, and so, you know, we'll be taking comments for a particular period of time, but then that'll be it. So I would just say by close of business Wednesday, the 12th.
Okay. Anything else?
Just a point of clarification. So who is Drew going to interview with? Could you clarify?
He's going to be interviewing all of you individually. He'll be having a group discussion with you, summarizing what he's learned on the 10th, on the 11th. I would present to him the leadership team. I may even hold an all-staff meeting with Drew that morning of the 10th or sometime during the 10th. And beyond that, it's whoever council would direct us to bring in as other stakeholders. Yes.
I think it's the right group. I'm just concerned that 5 hours isn't going to do it.
I'll take whatever time that we need to afterwards, but in order to start the process in December, that's the time that I have in person in December.
So my comment or concern or thought for us is we don't normally have meetings. Well, our meetings beyond December 11th, because of the way this month happens, are December 25th, and meetings we're going to cancel. But I think this is an important process to get a good start. And so giving him only part of it, because we didn't have enough time for us and staff and the community to make inputs, again, might be short shrift. Is there a way we could have a special meeting or more of a conference call? Maybe the conference call really can handle this. Or individual phone calls.
Trust me.
Now you've seen all of us. Is there a way? I'm happy with delaying this a couple of weeks up front, maybe independent of our council meeting dates, to get the right input in for Drew to get this done right.
I will do whatever you need me to do to get this done correctly.
I would personally be okay with the three of you just giving a little, maybe spending a little bit of time together, getting some consensus, and maybe giving a little more input. I trust all three of your judgment on this issue as being better at. So if we were talking about the needs of the police department, I would say, you know, I trust my judgment on this as much as any of you. But in this area, I'm not as knowledgeable. And I look over to my left and I see a lot of people with more knowledge and skill in this area. I look at Brian. You guys are have a lot more experience, and I'm not trying to put extra effort on you, but I would trust your judgment in this area. I'm throwing out an idea that maybe he just focus a little extra time with the three of you, if y'all were comfortable. Maybe that doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Well, I certainly personally would want everybody to have time and have input because, right, we are seven very different people.
Yeah.
Although you said the 12th, we could, you're busy on the 11th and 12th except for a phone call here. So if it was Thursday or Friday, anybody you didn't talk to, would, you could still pick up the phone and do interviews because 5 hours on or...
Yeah. It doesn't sound like much time, but I'm really good at this. And the to answer your question, whatever is not covered on the on Monday and in our follow-up conversation on Tuesday evening, and if you would, I just sort of said this is the deadline for citizen comment. You set the deadline for citizen comment. Not me. I'm just trying to stress that the sooner you start, the faster that you work on this front end, the more time you'll have on the back end, and the sooner you'll have the manager you're looking for.
My hope is that everybody, if we can't get all the appointments scheduled on Monday, that people can call you.
Yes.
And talk to you, do their interviews on.
Absolutely.
The- not available for Monday. I am.
I'm flexible. I can work around everyone else's schedule on that day.
Okay, and I have video conference too.
Yes.
8 to 1.
Down here, we're going to come here.
So yeah. We're all available except Vincent, who will probably have to Skype or call you.
So I can do any time between 8 and 1, so why don't you fill in anybody that has time restrictions? I'll take what's left.
Would it help you, Councilmember Cavallari, to start at 7:30? Do you want to start at 7:30? We'll figure out a place. And then, Mayor, you're at 8 o'clock.
I'm really glad 7:30 was taken because I would not want to get up there.
I would take 8:30 if it's available.
It is. Is that Councilmember Mead? Yep. Three more to go.
I'm very flexible. I'd like to let Mayor...
And your schedule's flexible.
Councilmember Todd,
I'm really flexible too. So Brian, how's it fit in your day?
Go. I got 8:30.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
9 o'clock work for you.
Yep. You just take me wherever. I'm like Mark, but don't want Mark to have to wake up too early. I'll take the earlier one.
I like to sleep in.
Councilmember.
So Todd at 9. Okay.
Missing one.
Me. Whatever's left is fine.
10:30, sir.
Okay.
And that gets you 2 hours with the staff to do the
10:30 Monday.
Yeah, that's 2.5 hours to speak with your city manager and staff and all staff if they like and anybody else that you would like in there. And then I'll wrap it up for you the following night, and if you want more time for other people, you have it.
I'd like to... To figure out, so based on this input, you're going to create some sort of profile, and you talked about us wordsmithing the heck out of it. I don't think we really want to do that, but when is that? Because we don't have an official meeting at which we could talk about that, so I'm wondering if we need to set a meeting for us to take your product out of those meetings. And
we can, to the extent that's necessary, you can set that on, the set up how you're going to review that document on Tuesday evening. Is it the 12th or 11th?
The 11th.
And I'll follow whatever schedule that you set.
What's your expectation? A week after this is when you're going to have something? Because we're trying to get this recruiting brochure sent out before Christmas and posted on the website.
Well, I'm definitely, certainly before the first of the year to have the final text, graphics, photos, and so forth on our website so that at a minimum it can be distributed digitally.
Yeah. But so I want to make sure we have a chance. If you write something that's perfect, we all love it, everything's cool. If we don't love it, I want to make sure we have thought planned ahead on a time that we can not hold you up.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And you'll get from me also a letter in with things to think about in advance of our time together on Monday.
Okay. That helps them too.
Congratulations.
11th too, okay.
Okay,
See you Monday. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have fun.
Okay, next up is the 2017-2018 budget amendments.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. The city's finance director is unfortunately sick today, so I'll be making the presentation about the amendments that are necessary to allow us to close out the year 2018. All of these amendments have been previously discussed with Council over the course of the last year. Some of the more notable amendments include interfund transfer of just over $1 million. This is to support the capital improvement plan. You remember this achieves the 33% excess of the reserve, as well as the one-time revenues out of the general fund into the capital improvement fund. It includes interfund loan of $500,000 from the general fund into the surface water fund, and that supports additional expenditures of $1 million. $850,000 of which were for the actual construction repairs associated with the Sweetwater Ranch, and the remaining amount was for consulting fees related to the RAID analysis, as well as some engineering design expenses. Also includes increased expenditures of $450,000 related to legal expenses, professional expenses, and employment severance expenses, and includes funding the equipment replacement fund of $450,000. About $250,000 of that is for new assets that were purchased by the city. The other remaining balance was actually catching up on prior assets, funding those depreciation schedules fully. In addition, there are, to the general fund and surface water fund, there are other modifications that were made or need to be made to a variety of funds, and those are listed in attachment A. I can review those with you if you have questions about those. But at this point, I'm recommending that you adopt the ordinance amending the 2017-2018 biennial budget.
This may be hard, Peggy. Maybe you may not be able to answer, but let's go ahead and give it a try. My experience, which isn't all that deep, but Bob, you got a lot of experience too. Normally, these year-end or biennium-end budget adjustments are a little thing here, a little thing there. Yep, we got sales tax was killer this year because they had a whole bunch of construction sales tax. And yeah, big apartment buildings sold, so we got a lot more REIT. So you put those things in there. And oops, we had this thing go. There's a lot of dollars here. This is 10%-ish kinds of changes in our general fund and other funds too. And I think a lot of this, I seem to recall a lot of this is kind of unraveling things that were moved and maybe shouldn't have been moved or need to be moved back. And some of this is unraveling. Some of it is true new revenue or new expenses. Some of it is because of the action we took on our CIP that said let's put some money away in reserve. That was the $1 million. So there's some things, kind of one-time adjustments that we've agreed to that weren't based on past accounting, unraveling past accounting things. Comments or?
Yeah, I mean, the past accounting issue was related to the equipment replacement fund. Again, not fully funding all of your depreciation associated with the current assets or the former assets or the current assets, and the rest of it was the bulk. And so that's that matter. The bulk of it is the CIP policies, the changing reserve, moving money out of the reserve and into the CIP fund. The interfund loan, of course, you know about, which is so that you can fully fund that emergency item. And then the one notable item that you, outside of those 3 years, just the additional legal expenses and employment costs that you experienced this last year. So it's really in those four buckets, one of which is policy related. The other is an emergent situation dealing with the surface water. The third is not fully funding your depreciation schedule. And the last is, again, you had other issues related to a lot of legal expenses and a lot of employment expenses during the last 2 years.
So a big one that's on the positive side looks like is real estate excise tax, another 1970. That's a big number. Was that a big windfall from some big sale of a project, or is that part of an accounting thing where we move money back and forth?
Talking about the revenue?
Yeah, on the revenue side.
Yeah, so it's an additional 1.9. It's just additional revenues that weren't anticipated.
Okay, so it was really,
you'll see in the general fund, we have $1.9 million more than what we anticipated. That helps pay for that $2.4 million. And remember, $500,000 of that is associated with a loan that will come back.
Yeah.
The majority of that 1.9 is from sales tax, additional building, and then passport fees. So I think when you stand back and look at this, yeah, it looks like a lot of an amendments supported by revenue, but there's some real genuine reasons, of course, as to why we need to amend the budget in this manner. Looking forward on the 464,000.
It's on the second page of charts.
Oh, second page, I'm sorry.
The department part of it.
So I'd ask the chief, that could be a lot of overtime, I suspect.
We underfunded our overtime budget in 17-18 based on some goals we'd set forth with labor management and some accomplishments we'd hoped to have made with contract negotiations, but contract negotiations being what they are, we didn't make that kind of progress that we'd hoped to be able to make for all the right reasons, but that did result in us ending up spending more than we had budgeted for overtime costs. So a significant chunk of that 464 is related to some overtime costs.
Are, like, dispatch services and stuff included in your department, or is that non-departmental?
Those are included in ours, but the changes that you see that we expect are still, some of those are still to come.
Okay. Yeah, because action doesn't happen until our next assessment year. Okay, thank you.
Is there any further discussion or questions?
So we have a motion to approve.
Second.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Okay, next up is the budget.
Thank you, Mayor. Tonight's subject to council's further modification. The proposed 2019-2020 budget is ready for your adoption. The proposed budget that I presented to council on November 2nd of this year has been modified based on the council's direction over the past month. And I'm just going to summarize some of those actions that you have taken. Of course, one is the council's recent decision for new surface water fee with associated expense, and that added $775,000 of additional expense beyond what we had included in the proposed budget. Remember, that was simply a plug number that we put into that budget document, not knowing what the rate analysis was going to show or what the council action would be. We also reallocated some staff hours related to the surface water engineering position to better align with expected job functions. That added $68,000. Reduced $68,000 into the general fund, and then added $68,000 into the CIP fund, which would just simply require some additional value engineering to make all of that math work out in the capital improvement fund. We had a carryover some capital project elements related to the 35th that we shifted from 17-18 into the 19-20 of $1.7 million for that project, and then $775,000 shifting it into the new biennium for the sports park, which you just approved at the last meeting. Total budgeted revenues are $59,138,265. The same amount is for the expenses. Total general fund revenues are projected at $28,195,366, with a little bit less in the actual operating expenses of $28,181,353. Overall, the budget has slightly fewer FTEs, and then that will be reduced by almost another FTE at the beginning of the year when the city's current human resources director is scheduled to retire. One item that council wanted to have discussion for this evening, that is scheduled for discussion this evening, is to consider the request from the North Shore Senior Center on behalf of the Mill Creek Senior Center. There's some information, including your packet, that the North Shore Senior Center has provided at your request. Currently, the proposed budget maintains the amount historically that you have provided for senior center services at $25,000 for the biennium. The North Shore Senior Center is requesting $50,000 in the next biennium to support the Mill Creek Senior Center. And upon direction by the council, additional funding for the Mill Creek Senior Center could come from the council contingency fund within the proposed budget. And you'll note that on page 54 of the document, the contingency fund has a balance of $61,735 for the 1920 budget year. So upon adoption of the budget this evening, subject again to what you might want to do with the senior center request, staff will modify the budget document that was presented to you on November 2nd. We'll update all the narratives, the tables, and the charts related to all the policy and funding type direction and changes that you have made, as well as correcting any of the non-policy or non-funding sort of budget communication matters within the document when that gets finaled and published and presented back to you in early January. So with that, Mayor, take any questions that council would have or help to try to facilitate a discussion regarding the senior center funding request.
One of the questions I have is about signage on 132nd. We got the city got a grant from the county for a senior for the sign over at City Hall North for senior services. Can we make sure that with the small cutbacks coming in 2019 for the county that we apply? Because if it's $2,500 for signage, we should be looking for grants to get that. And we can certainly do it by the end of the year. It's something that the, well, we just should be looking for grants.
Sure, I'll follow up with that.
So, what you and I talked, Mayor, about you're wanting to set up a policy to address the policy of when folks. So, do you want to? When do you envision us having that? So, I would like to move and address the senior ask, but I respect your opinion on where you shared you'd like to have the policy, and I'm willing to have that discussion. Are we gonna? Do we want to have the both of them? Because it's kind of a policy addressing when people make an ask of the council, and then we have our current sort of unwritten policy of supporting the seniors and just a discussion about how much support is we feel comfortable with. We've had an ask for more. I thought we were going to maybe have a discussion tonight about sort of where we were at as to what we as a body felt comfortable with, but I don't think we're really ready to have that, and I don't mind waiting. Do you have some thoughts, Mayor?
My thinking is, and I talked to Bob about that, we want to be careful about opening the door. And if we have a policy, and I would hope, as I've talked to the city manager, we need a policy on parades. We need a policy on things like this. And I would hope that that would be something we could dive into after the first of the year. Like Councilmember Steckler, I would like to see action, and as soon as we come up with a policy that meets the auditor and all our other needs, then I mean, we can go ahead. The $60,000 is still there. It's not going anywhere, and we can do a budget amendment and appropriate the money. I'm not suggesting that we're not going to. I just think that we need to have a policy because this is going to open the door until we have something well-defined. That's all. And Councilmember Holzklaus next. And then Councilmember Cavallari.
I just wanted some clarification of whether this is a budget issue. If we're taking out a council contingency, do we need to have this discussion now? I mean, I'm supportive of the idea. I'm glad we got some more information, but don't we need to first adopt the budget? If we're not increasing the budget to accommodate this request, or do we need?
If you're going to allocate any more resources towards the senior center and you want to take it out of council contingency or really any fund, you need additional funds to be allocated or appropriated. So you have a fund balance within your council contingency of $67,000. Whether you want to allocate $1 or all of it, you need to appropriate it. You do that tonight or do it at any time.
So are you saying we should address the budget first and then address the senior center
No, I'm saying you have to, if you want to allocate funds to something like the senior center, do it as part of your budget process. Otherwise, you're going to have to amend the budget later on in order to do that very same action.
We're going to amend the budget anyway. We amend the budget. Okay, Councilmember Cavallari.
Thank you, Mayor. Based on the mayor's representation, I think it's a fair ask to have this conversation after the first of the year, with the understanding that there were some numbers put on the table, about a 10% increase per year, or $5,000 for the biennium, or 10% increase. I was very open to that, and it definitely would go toward program. I'm hopeful that it would go toward the programming. One thing that I would certainly like to see is if we're going to do that in lieu of or short of putting a policy in place, is that we somehow have some sort of assurance that that's exactly where it goes, because the reason we're having this discussion was because a citizen brought it to our attention that there was a lack in funding for some of the senior events, and that's not acceptable to me. So I'm very open to at least having that 10% increase discussion, no matter what fund it comes from. Thank you.
Councilmember Bond.
Thank you, Mayor. Right. This is responsible to carry that the senior is with.
What I'm saying is there's a reasonable amount, and we might have seven different definitions of what that reasonable number is, but I'd like to have a discussion, get some consensus, and then not leave them hanging. I'm worried that if we're forming a policy, and I just don't want this to get lost. So I'm hopeful that, like, by January 31st, we've told the seniors what level of commitment we're comfortable with as a body, and then they can begin to factor that into their budget needs. Is that something we can agree is reasonable?
We have a very light budget, very light agenda so far on January 8th. Has anything changed?
There will be, well, not at this point, but I suspect there will be a lot of things that will change as we get closer to the year.
So what I like about that date is that gives all of us time to do some of our own research as well. Because I'll tell you, when I went and visited the senior center and I saw firsthand what was going on, I was surprised that things out there were not going as smoothly as I thought they were. And so it's just sort of it's brought the needs of our seniors to my attention. Some of it we can do as a body here. Some we may do some individual stuff. There may be some fundraising that they do that we decide to assist them on that has nothing to do with the council or the city of Mill Creek directly. But I would like to just have we already have a policy in place that we do support them. So the question for us at that later date will be, is this current level of support the same level we're comfortable with in lieu of their ask? Or are we willing to bump that up a little bit, believing that the ask that they're giving us is reasonable? I'm looking forward to having that discussion in January.
I don't know about the specific date. If council wants to talk about that, we can certainly put it on that date, or we can schedule it on a date that works for council as well, sometime in early January.
Don't want people hanging, they've got stuff to do. So if we could do that either the 8th or the first we're off because it's January 1st. So are you saying we're only having two meetings in January?
Well, unless you schedule a new, I haven't looked at your code. If you're off on a regular holiday, if it automatically transfers to another meeting,
so we'd be
date.
8th,
so,
and then we'd be the 2nd and the 4th only, because we're eliminating the 1st.
And you want to focus simply on what?
A policy of, as you and I had discussed, about having a policy about funding different organizations. Because as we learned with the Chamber of Commerce, we had other people come forward now, and rental space, office space, what have you. We need to tighten it up so that we can do what we want to do and yet not be overwhelmed with requests. So, Councilmember Todd.
Thank you. So, this whole issue of senior center funding, I looked at it two ways. Here's what I'm thinking. If we systematically say we want to increase our level of support, change our level of support from 12.5 per year to something different on a continuous basis, I think it's important that we get that into the budget. Tonight, ideally, maybe we can't do it. If we want to say, let's fund a temporary gap because they've got an issue and it's a one-time hit for one of the items I think they listed, and I'm not pro or against this,
line
was
dancing.
The line dancing. They need $3,000 to pay for rental fees until they figure something out. That one-time hit, I think that's where we dig into our council contingency pocket, and that's a little easier to do. Bob is right. Of course he's right that all needs to be set, but it doesn't mess with all the numbers if we say let's take it out of the savings account called council contingency, and it's $3,000 one time. That's a little bit. We could do that in January. It wouldn't totally freak out everybody. But if we're going to say we really have to change from 12.5 to some different number, that does figure into the whole budget book, and it would be nice to get that right up front.
That's a great point, and we're not really rushing for January 8th deadline to get something in place, and
maybe
have
insurance to it. And then to the request was, and I think it was a discussion starting January 8th about what's a policy. I'm just guessing. That's the conversation we probably need to start and decide on the senior center that night. It's just not likely to happen. Maybe done by the end of the month. Yeah, maybe that's it. But I think that set our expectations is this might take a couple conversations to figure out.
Yeah, it's just kind of a worst case scenario compromise. I mean, I was kind of ready to make a motion tonight, but I'm rather not rush it. I just don't want to leave them hanging.
I would make a motion to move $2,500 from the council contingency fund into the senior funding as a one-time payment to fill the gap of programming at this juncture, as Councilmember Todd represented very appropriately.
Second. I'm not sure if the motion was clear, but what I hope it's saying is that they don't have space for line dancing and Tai Chi. $2,500 for the year will allow them to rent space. This does, if we do it for 2 years, a total of $5,000, basically one time is what I'm supporting. This is not an increase to what we're currently giving them. We'll have that discussion later. What this is a one-time appropriation to gap them 2 years to find something better. It just buys them time. And at the end of that 2 years, the senior center comes and says, we found this, and this is working great. Or if we work with them to find another solution, there is some space out there. There is some options. So I'm suggesting we increase. Well, I didn't make the motion, so I don't want to speak for the motion maker. Is what I'm saying resonating with you? Is that your intent? Are you advocating we increase the amount given annually, or we make an appropriation to meet the need of the $5,000?
I think the way Councilmember Todd so eloquently put it was a one-time transfer at this point till we can work out the nuts and bolts. I think, given the mayor's representation with the business association and maybe some other groups that have come forward, that it could set a bad precedent. And I think there's a need, there's an ask, and I think the one-time payment for 1 year, the $2,500, is appropriate to add to the budget now, which would probably not kill us anymore. And we'd still be able to add that discussion.
I think we're saying the same thing, other than I'm not doing the second year. Or I was talking about the second year, saying wait on that. We'll address that later.
Correct.
I can do that.
Yeah, 125 years, 5,000, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Got a little different take on it. Here's what's going on in my mind. And the trick is, so we've received some input from some folks at the Senior Center, and then we got this stuff from North Shore that said that there's a $2,500 as a need for 2019. I'm interested in doing something for 2019 as a patch. I'm not interested in doing 2019 and 2020 as a patch. That's not a patch. And so I'm not in favor of doing 2,500 per biennium because we're the context is a patch. Then everything's going to hit. As I go back to the days, many of us remember from a long time. Some of us remember from a long time ago when they operated all their programs out of a tiny little office space at McCullum Park, and they moved over here, and that was a big change for them, and it was great. I think it was a good idea. But back in the good old days, they figured out how to use North Creek Presbyterian Church and rooms over at McCullum Park and lots of things to do their programs. Similarly, when they were next door, they figured out ways to do their programs. Yes, it'd be cool if they could do them all in their own facility. Line dancing doesn't happen to fit in the facility that we, the city, and the developer, mostly his money, our idea maybe, that his money, put a lot of money into the senior center. It isn't perfect, and they've cold toes where it isn't perfect. But I would love to see them get a little creative about where they go find these classes. I don't think they all have to be on site. I don't think they all have to be perfect necessarily. Just as we can't provide certain programs for our own rec programs because of facilities, they may have to do some clever pairing of programs or location of programs, etc. And then I come back to, if they need 2,500 to make this happen, the numbers part of me says, okay, 279 out of 848 of that is about a third. You know, is this money going to Mill Creek people? Not Mill Creek people. This is taxpayer money. And so maybe a third of it is our problem, and two-thirds of it is the county's problem. That's not going to happen. So I don't know. That's what's going on in my head. Thanks.
I like the idea of dealing with the short-term issue for 19 and then having the bigger discussion. You know, a couple of these issues, we're in a unique situation because the developer that offered up the community or the space for the senior center is the same developer that's going to be bringing a proposal to us early next year with a development agreement. And I don't know if there might be opportunities to have discussions of how some of these issues might be address maybe yes or no into the new development that's coming in. The parking, is there something that can be done to ease up the parking for the existing facility through the new development? So I'd be interested in having that conversation on this bigger issues once we have a little more information of are there additional things this developer could offer with the farm when they bring it to us that we might want to consider.
And the motion on the floor is for 1 year, is the patch.
Yeah, and I would support that.
Councilmember Todd, I share your concerns, and so that's why I took it upon myself to visit the senior center, and I can tell you that they've made a number of different locations. They've been trying to find an affordable, cheap fix. They weren't able to do it. The couple places that they thought were going to work did not work, and so where they landed was the Grange. They, in fact, in changing locations a couple times, started losing membership, and it was starting to unravel. And they found a place that did work, but there was a slightly greater cost, and that prompted this ask. This is perfect, but we've got this, and it's not at the current facility. It's off-site, which creates some transportation issues. It's not ideal. It's just it is doing exactly what you had hoped they would do, trying to be creative and find something that worked. They are doing that.
Authorize a one-time patch payment of $2,500 to increase that as a one-time payment and to have a discussion in January about a policy and where we want to go.
I think the motion was just to take $2,500 out of council contingency.
And
for 2019.
So if there's no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Extensions passes unanimously.
I think that was the motion. Was that the motion to approve the budget or just the motion, the underlying motion of the 2,500? Okay.
500.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So now you want a motion to approve the.
Yes.
So moved.
I propose that we've had a lot of dialogue about this. To accept the proposed budget that's been presented to us today for the next 2019-2020 biennium.
Second.
A motion and second discussion.
Councilmember Todd.
Yeah, so I think this is adopt ordinance 2018, give us a number to adopting the 1920 biennial budget. But
842.
842, thank you. But I would like to speak, unless one of the makers wants to speak first, I'd like to speak to the motion. Thanks, overall, this is a great budget, and I think we've done from a couple of biennials ago where it was all numbers and not much discussion about what the work plan. So this is really important. I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. You know, our job as council is to talk about vision and mission and strategic objectives. That sets the environment in which this budget was developed. And some of the things from Appendix H, but the fiscal policies there are something that came from us, a discussion with us and staff, and I think those policies are really good. That, again, is a policy level kind of thing we do. So just because it's in Appendix H, that really is what we need to agree with. And I think we're pretty close. We talked about earlier today, there's a couple of tweaks because we made some changes with our stormwater. So there's some numbers to be changed in there. But I think those policies are still pretty good. But I would encourage us to not forget those and reflect on those as we set directions for the city, because it's important that those policies reflect how we as fiduciaries for this corporation called City Mill Creek, we do our job. By implication, it is our acceptance of the work plan. And as I said earlier, I think the staff has got a lot of stuff in this work plan. I worry a little bit from the next city manager going, oh my goodness, what have we agreed to do? I think they've got some stretch goals in here, but that's good. We as council should be receptive to having conversations throughout the biennium on how that thing is going. That's our governance opportunity. That's everything we do as council members is govern. We need to govern to a budget, and it's not just the numbers. If they just come back and say, we haven't spent too much, but they're not executing that work plan, I think that's also where we dip in and say, how can we help you guys out, or what do we have to change? You know, can we not get all these projects done, or are we going to have to change direction? So, again, that's something we need to do. Here, the number of FTEs, it's in there. I'm going to ask a question here a second for the city manager. Here's your setup. So we accept a certain level of FTEs. This is how the staff was able to total up the plan based on objectives, put some bodies to it. Those bodies, in our case, of the kind of a corporation we run, that's a lot of our expense. They totaled that up and said, here's how many bodies we can have that fits this much money. And so, give it to us, but I want to give it to us again. There are some things we would like to do that we're probably not going to be able to do, or might not be able to do because of some places we've compromised a little bit. And throughout the document, you know, the police chief had asked for some more help and other things, and so maybe just reflect on that so the population who's out there listening, watching on TV, is confident of this is not everything we'd love to do. This is the best balance you could do within the budget parameters we have.
Right. I think it's important to frame that our expenses are going up faster than our revenue, our ability to collect revenue. So it's constantly requiring city staff to realign, find different ways to deliver the services for less cost. And this budget is no different, and that's exactly what it's attempting to do. There are three positions that are key that are not funded in this budget. Some have been eliminated, some are due to retirement, some have been exchanged for another position, but throughout all those sort of variations, there are still three positions that department directors asked for that have merit and have value, but we simply could not afford. Those included a new police officer. You've heard a lot from the school district. We've had plenty of discussions in this room about the need for school resource officers. There's simply not the revenue to do that. In fact, the chief traded out an existing police officer that was vacant for another very important position that would allow him then to implement many of the administrative tasks and assignments that he's laid out for the next 2 years. There's a deputy city clerk position in order to deal with all of the multitude of public records requests and allow this really get into a better management of public records. We simply don't have that ability because of the resources. And then our public works staff or maintenance staff. We've had the same number of staff, five, I think, since my last turn here at City Manager, and you've increased road miles, you've increased pipes, you've increased parks, and so you have far more greater responsibilities than when you had 15 years ago, but yet you have the same number of staff. And so what you're losing with this budget, I think you gain a lot, but what you're losing is you're missing out on a lot of missed opportunities, and slowly you're starting to eat away some of the things that make Mill Creek special, our ability to maintain our parks and our streets and provide the really unique types of services that are customer-friendly and centric. Those things are slowly eroding. The more you're able, you have to sort of reel back some of your expenses and reduce your staff in order to correspond with your available revenues. So that's why it was important for, you know, the property tax to consider that. Obviously, I understand the reason why council voted the way they did in recognition of the surface water fees, but that's really what you're giving up with this budget. Despite the fact that I still think it's a good budget and staff's putting forth a lot of work and you're getting a lot of miles from the dollars that you're spending here, but we are missing out on some things too that it would have been nice to be able to fund.
Bear with me for a few minutes. I got some things I got to say. I've been struggling with this for a week since our meeting last week. I don't know whether I say my piece and vote for the budget or say my piece and vote against the budget, but here's what's been bothering me. We've been talking about 2 years ago, we balanced the budget. A lot of work went in by the city staff, reorganization, the physical plant, the personnel plant, and how we deliver our services to save money the best we could. But to balance the budget, as I recall, we had a pretty significant tax increase. We jumped, if I remember the chart, we dipped into our bank capacity and raised property taxes to achieve a balanced budget. But we identified then that the next step was to not just make the budget sustainable on a biennium basis, but on a go-forward basis. And that's what's really been I've been challenged with since last week. And the best way I can think of this, this isn't directed at Councilmember Bond, this is the best way I could think about it, but to me this is like a gambler's budget. And I say that because I was thinking of blackjack. In blackjack, the house always knows what they have before you do. To me, our expenses are like the house. We know what, for the most part, what our expenses are going forward, not just for this biennium, but we're pretty certain that for the next biennium, the employment or labor costs are going to continue increasing by at minimum 2%. So to me, on the expense side, the house is holding a 20. On the revenue side, it's like I feel like I'm sitting on a 12. And the same council member Bond will tell you, the odds are better you're going to pull a 10 than you are pull a card less than a 10. We've been fortunate in the past number of years that we haven't pulled a 10. But I feel like we're gambling that the revenues, which we can't predict, are going to come in as they have over the past 6-8 years more than projected. I would like to think that's going to continue, but as I said last week, I think the odds are better we're going to have a slowdown economically than not, and that's going to result in less sales tax revenue, and those assumptions about the revenues are going to be harder. I think where my struggle is, this is a great budget for the biennium. And I share Council Members Todd's comments. Staff, you guys did a great job. The work plan is aggressive, but it's good. I like the priorities you've set and what you've identified. But when I walked in this night, I looked at the guiding principles again. And one of them is fiscal responsibility, to responsibly manage the city's financial resources to provide quality public services, cultivate economic prosperity, and maintain a sustainable budget. What I struggle with being asked to vote on tonight is I look at page 24 with a chart that says without a 1% tax increase, we're going to deplete our reserve from just under $6 million to approximately $2 million between now and 2024. That's what I struggle with when I look at our guiding principle and the goal we set a number of years ago is in the short term, this is great. This is the right thing to do. And I realize there's nothing we can do tonight to change the decision last week, but the vote last week affects how I look at the budget that I'm being asked to vote on tonight. I'm under no illusion that if we'd raised property taxes by 1%, it would have fixed the problem. But we've identified for some time we have a structural issue because we can't predict the revenues, and adopting a 1% increase would have at least provided a step in the right direction to addressing that structural issue, which we unfortunately, and I respect your decision, I understand why, but that's the challenge I have. I understand that I think the other thing that I understand why the decision was made, but I guess the other reason I look at it is my concern is that in the long run, this is going to end up costing the taxpayers more because we're going to have bigger increases, have to raise taxes down the road more than we'd like to and have a bigger impact on the taxpayers than we would have if we'd done it more incrementally.
Cost them more.
If we have to raise tab, we saw some charts that said that to achieve the same outcome if we had just gradually undone it 1%, that we're staring at in a couple years a 2.5% or 3% increase, or if we deferred that increase for further years, you're looking at up to a 7% increase in 1 year.
But we can only do the banked capacity, which means we can only do the amount we've foregone. And even if we go the whole amount, they still save the money because we don't get to retro go back and collect it.
Fair
so
right.
They're not paying. They might take a bigger hit, but they're not paying more.
Fair enough. But then the problem continues to get worse. If we can't raise taxes enough because we don't have enough bank capacity, then the difference between the revenues and the expenditures grows bigger. So anyway, that's what I struggle with is this chart, is the long-term sustainability. I applaud the staff. You did what we asked, came back with a budget that had no increase. I just struggle with this long-term sustainability of, and if we're setting ourselves on a path of having to constantly consider jacking up property taxes more than 1% going forward. So I've said my piece. The budget's great. I don't know if I'm going to vote for it or against it for that reason, but I felt I needed to lay that out. Thank you.
I agree. I like the gambler analogy. I also think that kind of cuts both ways. I know when I go to Vegas, and if I have a couple of grand extra in my pocket, I'm a little looser with the money. Maybe I spend a little more or let a little more ride. The tighter the budget, I think the staff did a fantastic job to get what they need, not what we would like. I think that's where sometimes as legislators we kind of lose focus, me personally anyway. In answer to your question of raising taxes less by any, yeah, I think 0.94%. I don't think any other city could say that because we whittled it down to the basics of what we needed at the time, and I just thought that was fantastic. It's one of the things I'm very proud of up here. And good job, staff. Good job, acting city manager. I think we've all come together and put together a great package here, and it's going to address a lot of needs. And my only other question was, with your want for public works, doesn't the surface water fee increase, doesn't that address that position?
It addresses the surface water needs, and that's it doesn't address the additional maintenance responsibilities of all the other areas of responsibility. Welcome.
Thank you, Councilor Mark. The budget is true. We're young. In our youth, we've had a stacked deck where there weren't very many tens. It turns out we've always found how to get there. And this year, last year, we had a surprise in sales tax. And we're kind of setting ourselves up for being successful because we're required by our policies and by our practice through the finance directors we've had today and in the past, very conservatively project revenues. And so some extra construction comes in, there's an extra hit in sales tax, you know, or the economy's been good recently, you know, our new business in town helps us out. So we have had some positive hits that have helped us out. But that is just putting off what you've talked about is in terms of structural deficit. The other thing you do is try to bend the curve. And there's a couple of things. There's one thing in here I'm proud of that I think staff is stepping up to and trying to bend the curve, and that's instead of hiring, and it's kind of on our capital side, but it affects this whole thing, instead of hiring a lot of people to manage our projects, we're stepping up and getting a new project manager for capital projects. And so having that be our person looking out for our best interests and being a paid employee instead of a high-paid consultant with lots of overhead, I think that's one place where you can bend the curve. Somehow, you know, Peggy's not here, so I can't grill her, or I can't thank her, but do thank her for stepping up and saying, we're going to reorganize finance. She thinks she's got a way to save a headcount out of that. And I don't know if that's easy or hard. I think it's going to be hard, but she's stepping up to do it. And I think that that is another example of trying to bend the curve. We're going to take on some new tools that are going to make us work smarter instead of harder. And I applaud staff for doing those kinds of things. To me, that's all about continuous improvements. Looking at the processes we've got, how can we improve them? We're going to have to do that. Governments everywhere are going to have to do that because it's 1% tax limitation when you quit being a young, growing city is impossible in the face of contracts that are 2.5% or 3%. We're guaranteed to have to go up. So it's, I'm with you, Councilmember or Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw, that this is kind of scary, but what we did last week is what we did, and we have to move forward from here. I'm hoping the future years will figure out good ways to bend the curve and good ways to find out how to continue to fund things. Thanks.
Thanks. Just going to kind of state the obvious. We had a discussion on the property tax. We had a, you made your case. We all made our case. We took a vote, and now we're here. And we'll have another opportunity, if you're right, and you might be, with what's coming down the pipe. I agree that some things are coming. We'll address it for 2020 and 21 and 22 and may have to make, you know, I made my case with you, and, you know, shared why I thought a 1% would help us avoid a utility tax. So, but nonetheless, at this point, it's that we had the discussion. Was just got to move on.
I'll say, so what we're approving tonight is the budget, which is the numbers. This book, I've talked to Bob about this too, there's things that the staff will go back based on the discussions we've had. There's little things they'll change in terms of making this a great document as a communication tool and a guidance tool for the next city manager, for us staff, and for the public. So I'm really pleased that that's part of his plan and part of his approach, and we're going to have Bob helping us do that. The one thing, I mentioned it earlier, I think when we get done, the implication is that we love this book and we've been involved at the right level. And as much as I think the SWOT analysis is a good idea to have in there, I don't feel like council's been involved enough. And so I make a motion that we remove that appendix. I think it's Appendix I. My computer went dead. Out of this version of the book, just so that it's not misconstrued. I think it was Appendix I. And the table of contents of the poll button.
No, that is correct. It is Appendix I.
Not, and again, not that that's not important, but I think we
counsel. It's on one page, 163.
I think the public will look at that and say, oh, this is accepted, and I think that really is a leadership function for all of us to talk about it. So thanks to staff for trying to move that along. That's good stuff, but I think we had to have a retreat and talk about that and include that in future budget books. This is staff input so far, and I think it needs to be off from all of us.
It's not going to change the work program or the policies that you've adopted with this budget. So it was information. Trying to make the document as user-friendly and informative for others as possible was the reason why that was in there. But if you want to remove any piece of that, this started off as my budget presented to you, but as you adopt it, it is your budget, and so you need to be comfortable with that. And Councilmember Todd is right. There's a lot of exhibits in here that are important, and it's not just the numbers. You also have the class and comp plan in here, which you adopt as part of your budget system every 2 years. So it's an important document that you should feel comfortable with. And if that's one area, I don't think it's a critical area that can't be removed.
I have a quick budget question.
Someone seconded it, or else we wouldn't have had the discussion.
No, I just moved it.
Oh, I'm sorry. The most recent
moving
motion.
To an end.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll second the motion.
See, we have our Snohomish County Council, former mayor of Mill Creek, Terry Ryan, which reminded me, I talked to Terry, and I think he may have talked to some of you. Bob, did we got 150,000, Terry, help me out. There was some grant money for one of our parks. Did that get in? Our revenue side.
Councilmember Ryan informed me of that as a possibility. We knew it was a likelihood, but we didn't want to budget for that until there.
Am I stealing your thunder? Is that why you're here to tell us some good news? I don't see a big check, so.
Next month.
Yeah.
Bob, I left you a voicemail right after we passed the budget. The county council did. I came down to announce that. But it's good that you brought this up because it should be folded into your budget. So I did get a $150,000 grant for replacement play equipment at Heron Park. So I think that's in your TIP or CIP or whatever, right? Not TIP, sorry.
And what that means is there's another $150,000 that you could allocate elsewhere.
No, not it's REIT money, so it's not on.
I'm talking about we have $150,000 programmed in there without a county grant. You still have $150,000 that could be allocated to some other eligible project.
Hey, seniors.
The county money might be tentative.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Bob. I wasn't sure, but heard possibility.
So we have
point of order. Can we go back to the motion? The motion to amend. Thank you.
But we have a motion and a second to amend the budget by removing Appendix I. Is there any further discussion?
Is there any? Would it satisfy Councilmember Todd's concern if we identified the SWAT as a SWAT that was performed by city leadership?
Well, the actual document does say it was performed as part of a consultant analysis or study. It wasn't portraying that it was performed by city council.
But does it identify that it is the feeling this represents the opinions of the city leadership staff?
Again, it was the analysis by a consultant firm that looked at sort of the strengths and weaknesses, threats and opportunities, and then staff utilized that as it evaluated and it helped council develop the budget outcomes and then kind of the budget in general. Yes. Correct.
If I may, it was updated, for example, when this was created in 2016, it identified significant weaknesses in the communications and marketing department, which have been reflected as now things that are going well for the city. So we have taken the liberty to update it, but we can reflect that language to say, based on staff's review of the 2016 analysis conducted by Marketing Solutions, this is where we are.
Well, mine's more of a request to Councilmember Todd.
And so I didn't have the benefit. I didn't go back and drag out the old analysis that in 2016 I think was presented to us, and we may have participated in it. I just can't remember exactly how we did that. But at that time, I felt like, yes, we could represent that was council and leadership worked on this. But it says right here in the third paragraph, or second paragraph, following City Council's development of desired budget outcomes and in preparation for budget development, SWOT analysis was reviewed, staff, and determined how it was, and so they've updated it some. And so I feel like this is, we have not, unless you guys all read this, and I don't think we did, and we didn't discuss it during this process, I feel like this group needs to discuss and endorse this if it's going to have our name on the front that we went with it. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it was, I think it needs to be reviewed at this level. So just expediency, because we've run out of time. This is the kind of thing, we would have had this discussion in normal order of business. We would have had this discussion between last March and right now, and we wouldn't be doing this. I'm just saying this time, I think it makes sense to take it out. Thanks.
So we have a motion and a second to remove to amend the budget by removing the SWOT analysis. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. So now we're back to the budget ordinance 2018-842. Any further discussion? We have a motion and a second on. Who was the motion and second, Gina?
Yes. The motion to approve the budget was made by Councilmember Steckler and seconded by Councilmember Cavalieri.
Question. So we got an updated page on the Diaz, this one, the updated page, which removed the change column. Thank you for doing that. But I now can't figure out the numbers. The one number that's different in terms of the final column looks like it's the parks and open space improvement. Oh, that's, oh, you just said that. So we moved the park. That's the Mill Creek Sports Park number.
Correct.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Passes unanimously. Thank you, everyone. And next up, Bob, is adoption of the 2019 legislative principles, priorities.
Thank you, Mayor. So I know in the past council has adopted legislative priorities. This may be the first time that you've adopted written priorities, which I always think is beneficial as you visit Olympia and you, as when you meet with legislators, having the opportunity to actually present a leave behind with legislators I think is important, plus just having the written down on one document so that you can quickly recite the top two or three legislative priorities that you have as a corporate entity, I think is important. So that's why these legislative priorities were developed. They follow much along the same lines as Association of Washington Cities that Councilmember Todd has briefed you on periodically throughout the year. And so staff is recommending that you adopt these as your legislative priorities for the upcoming legislative year.
Option of the 2019 legislative priorities?
Yes, Mayor.
I'd be pleased to make that motion.
We have a motion. Any second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second discussion.
Good work, thanks.
You have anything to add?
Oh, this is great.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Now we're up to our study session on personnel policy.
Thank you, Mayor. I understand the council would like to reside back at the dais for this discussion, so I'll make some opening comments and I'm going to sit at the table because I'm getting a little tired standing up here. And I'll ask staff to join me too, the HR staff, as we review the policies. The top goal this year for the city has been to update its personnel policies, many of which haven't been formally updated since 1997, or kind of my last turn here at city manager. HR staff's been working diligently to prepare the policies that are based on either updated state or federal law, best human resource management practices, and simply to memorialize current practice that has occurred in the city over the last five, six, or more years. Tonight's the introduction of the policies for study session. We're scheduled, or you're scheduled, for adoption if you support those policies on the 11th of December. The resolution that you're being asked to support tonight repeals all the prior policies, at least the formal policies that you have adopted, and adopts a new set of policies that's called out as policy 400-10. And those are a collection of policies, six policy areas that are the responsibility of the council to adopt. In other words, they're the policies that have some relationship and some impact to your budgetary responsibilities as a city council. Those six main areas include pay and classifications, incentives and premiums, leaves and paid time off, benefits, employee recognition and development, and safety. And so we've also included a procedure, personnel policy procedure, personnel procedures manual that is for illustrative purposes only, and that shows you how the six policy areas that we're asking you to adopt get implemented in that procedures manual. So you can see tonight sort of how those will be executed and how those will be carried out. And so I'm going to join you, or not join you, but sit at the study session table and ask the HR staff to join me too. And what we'd like to do is just have a discussion. I hope you had a chance to look at the six policy areas, and whatever questions you have, we'll try to answer those questions the best we can. Thank you.
clarify questions, or I can review just a quick summary for you. What would council prefer? How would you like to proceed?
A quick summary.
Okay, quick summary. I'm just going to follow the agenda summary, which is does a pretty good job, I think, of just illustrating the substantive policy changes from what you currently have in place today. I think the largest issue is under CCP 08002. This is an old policy. This is taking a policy that's required a pay-for-performance plan, a variable pay system where if you simply had a meet expectations, you receive a certain pay amount, and based on then your performance, you could receive additional compensation. This is had been replaced 5 years ago, back in 2013, with a step plan that's consistent with your collective bargaining agreements, and of course been consistent, as I indicate, for past practice, at least for the last 5 years. So that's a change from at least the written policy. It's not a change from the current practice, but it's a change from the written policy. There's also been a change to how incentives and premiums are calculated. The former policies was based on a matrix of both years as well as an overall performance score. Now it's simply based on the time of service at the city. We have a more definition and more expansion, or at least description, of the city's benefits, which includes a high deductible insurance plan. There's a number of other changes, but those are really sort of the significant issues. At least, again, these are not a significant change from current practice. They may seem like a departure from our current written policy, but that's because those current written policies in some cases are 1997 or in some cases a little newer, but still 5 or 6 years old.
Councilmember Ryan is in the audience, so I'm going to go back to when he signed. I've put more to the council, so Mark and I remember this, and Terry can check me on it. And so looking back at CCP 08002, and then 00001 has the same statement. But the first one is this, I want to quote this: "This compensation plan supports the city's philosophy that salary increases are driven by the principle of pay for performance." In a year later, when we did this again, it says it continues to support the city's philosophy that salary increases are driven by the principle of pay for performance. 09 got a little more complicated. 09001 got a little more complicated because the city manager at that time tried to put an incentive piece in it, kind of like a based on your goals kind of piece, and it got complicated. And what's happened is we've migrated away from that, and the city manager is exactly right that our practices changed. But I think that fundamentally for me, I'm a 100% pay for performance guy. Merit-based systems are the way to go. Some of us have had this discussion before. I think where we went wrong subsequent to 09 was that we discovered that for a pay-for-performance system to work based on merit, the supervisors and managers have to do a good job of performance appraisal. And we did not have a good system, apparently, is what became known to us in our governance function, is that people weren't doing very meaningful performance appraisals. And that was about the time we brought on the HR director, because we said we really needed HR professionals. So that was several city managers ago that this happened, and that was one of the things we were doing was, if you're going to have pay-for-performance systems, you've got to have performance appraisals that go with it. And the two are not the same, but they need to work together hand in hand. Over the years, we've tried. I think the staff has tried. I don't know. And that's why many of us a long time ago said, where are we going to talk about the personnel policies? And it wasn't about this thick administrative handbook. It was really about council-level policies. And I think fundamentally we need to agree on what our compensation system is and how we make sure we've got the best employees. And we reward the people who are knocking out of the park, going above and beyond, exceeding expectations, and that we also deal with people who are just coasting along and maybe not pulling their weight. I think staff at some point, I think Bob reminded me, it was about 2013, I guess, we devolved, I'm using that word purposefully, to a step system because it was easy. Because if everybody's getting a 4 or a 5 or whatever the top rating is, a pay-for-performance system doesn't work. I think that was a cop-out. I think we need to go solve the root cause, which is really have honest discussions with our employees. And we've done that with our city manager, said here's what we like, here's what we don't like, here's what we want to improve. And based on that, then we've had a compensation program that's gone with it. So I'm not fundamentally happy that we have gone towards step system, but it's happened to us. Now that we are faced finally with an opportunity for council to talk about, well, I think it's a council-level policy, I think it's time for us to talk about this again. What staff has done is they've documented what's going on. I don't think what's going on is the right fiduciary function by this group. I think we need to do what's well represented in the private, well recognized in the private sector is the right way to do it. And so I would like to have that discussion. So the way it is, I'm not in favor of these policies. Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor. So as a philosophically, I agree with everything you said. If the world was perfect, if managers were unbiased and professional and informed and motivated, and everything was sort of a utopian environment, I would be 100% on board with what you're saying. It's not. I've been a part of this type of system. I've been a government employee for 28 years. Started with the city of Mill Creek in 1990. And I've always thought, as a person that thought I did a good job, thought I worked hard, thought I would thrive in a system like that. But what happens is, one, we're not private sector. We're government. That is a big difference. When we work hard, Microsoft doesn't sell more stocks. They don't make more profits. There's options. It's a total different incentive in the world that we operate as government employees versus private sector widget development and profits and stocks and options and all these incentives that are out there for everybody in that organization to bust their butt and do a good job, and we all win at some levels. When the company thrives, we're all going to thrive, kind of a thing. Government's different. And there isn't an opportunity here to make ridiculously large salaries, except for one employee's worth every penny that we're paying him.
And more.
But besides the chief of police, joking aside, staff does a good job. We pay them a competitive, sort of livable wage, but nobody is here working for the city of Mill Creek or Snohomish County now, where I'm at, thinking I'm going to get rich. And nor do I think if I work harder, I will make more money. My incentive, the whole thing that drove me to the job and what drives me today, is not pay-related. It's the desire to do a good job. The manager that comes to my sergeant that says, hey, nice job, I saw what you were doing. I paid attention. I'm going to put in your evaluation. Nice job. You went the extra mile on that one. Appreciate it. And so we do these. If we have good leadership, good management policies, and we do annual, everybody does annual evaluations. I speak for police. Everybody does them. So there's feedback and there's motivation, but it's not financially driven. It's a different process, and it is flawed. But I think in the big picture, it actually works pretty well. So even though I like philosophically this notion that only those that work the hardest and put in that extra mile of extra effort would get the most rewards, it really is difficult to implement that in a government type environment, I think.
You can go into a professional room, so.
So a lot of places, and it began years ago, actually separated performance evaluations from pay. So, I mean, what I like about what you guys are talking about is that you care about what system we come up with. And that is where I feel like we need the leadership from council. We can design anything for you, you know, to hit any of these marks. And we have three groups that we can design different ones for. But philosophically, if all of you get to where you want to be, and I hear what Mark is saying, when you have this much of a budget and you're using a pay for performance, it's not very motivational to employees, because the people who meet get 3% and the people who exceed get 4%. It's not, you know, a lot of times it just blows up in your face. So you have to kind of figure, what do you want to do with that? And I think it'd be great if we could, you know, HR could actually sit with you and just throw out some examples and see what you want, because we're actually now at a place where we can have electronic performance evaluations. We can start all over. We can say managers, you do them quarterly, or we do, you know, companies do them all different ways. But the only way we can design it for you is to find out what you all, what is the most important thing to you.
Well, 90% to 90% of our workforce here in the city, I mean, they're all represented by bargaining units, so their pay is going to be, we know what their pay is going to be 10 years down the road, essentially, without a if there's a contract to go along with it. But I think you get where I'm going. So I think, I really don't think it would make much sense to deviate from that practice. You want kind of a global working statement or policy, however you do it. You want everybody to be treated the same. So yeah, I support Mark. I think it's a good point that the pay for play, it's a tough one, you know. There's favoritism in there, and what the time on the job type of pay for employees, that kind of takes all of that out of it.
Remember when this changed, it was in 2013 with the union contract with AFSCME. And what happened was, we have this many people that aren't in a union, and we've just sort of lumped them in with AFSCME. You know, so pay for performance might make sense with, you know, your managers or something like that. But we didn't have enough of a group that anyone kind of got together and said, we're going to do managers differently, you know. So it was the union's desire, because of the way it was being administered. It was just kind of like, okay, you know, it's really a step and grade thing now, so why don't we just formalize that and take paper performance away? So, you know, you have the options of treating the three groups differently if you want to also.
Okay, Councilmember Todd and Steckler.
But their manager needs to hold them accountable. That was part of my performance appraisal as a manager, was that the people whose salaries I administered were done not biased, not unfair, and I used the system. So that's thing one. Can you do it in government? Well, through some leadership by the board and some leadership at the head of community transit, which is a highly represented organization but also has administrative employees on a different plan, they've gone to 100% merit-based, no COLAs even. And so the pool, that you can go 0 to 8% based on merit, hardly anybody gets an 8, hopefully nobody gets a 0, and their budget objectives across the corporation is we got to come at 4 or less. And so we, as a board of community transit, said you got a budget for 4, you guys administer that so that your rock stars could get 6 or 7, an up-and-comer who's going way above, thinking of new things, figuring out new processes, is motivated to do something better than the guy right next to him who's just coasting along, who gets 2 or 1 or 0, probably not, but maybe. It's all based on expectations, you know. So what are our expectations? I think we're expecting in this environment, we're expecting people to think about new ways to do things. And so I want to reward those folks who are saying, I've done it this way for a long time, but I'm open to new ideas. So they're going to exceed my expectations for a clerk number one, whatever it is, in those knowledge kinds of jobs. It's not the rote kind of job that a maintenance worker or a, I don't mean that in a bad way, but somebody where you're doing the same thing, the pay and the step system makes a lot of sense. In this case, we're looking for people to go and invent new things, take on ownership. And so As our HR manager points out, yes, this is a small group, but I think it also can help set a culture that says we're looking for people, we're going to go the extra mile. And maybe someday the represented employees will also find that this is valuable to them, and they'd say, I like that idea of me working harder than the guy next to me. It's kind of a bummer that we've both been on the job for 5 years, and that guy's slacking off, and I'm working my butt off, and that's not fair. At some point, that gets to be a demotivator for folks. You can be, some people are like, well, that's fair, but it's like, I'm the kind of guy that says, I want to get, if I do extra and it helps the organization, then I want that to be reflected. And I kind of like that other guy to get a little kick in the pants to say, hey, carry your load around here. Thanks.
Councilmember Steckler, then Bond.
Thank you. When you talk about job performance evaluations, there's a philosophy and there's a functionality about them. Okay, so we've been talking a little bit about functionality, and part of that is compensation. And that's a big discussion. So if I could put that over here for a second, and I agree with Councilmember Todd, people deserve to be evaluated. They deserve to have a manager who's willing to take time with them and talk about their performance and not blow it off or not make it just, you know, not they like them, but be able to talk about, I'm watching what you're doing, I'm observing what you've accomplished. We talked about objectives at the beginning of the year. You've accomplished those. You took advantage of new opportunities. To have that kind of a discussion is probably the best motivation, including compensation, you can give an employee, the best you can give them. So I think we do need to, whether you're represented or not, if we want to take good care of our people, they deserve a performance evaluation. And behind your back, I saw a couple people when they asked if everybody gets an evaluation. I saw a couple people, won't mention names, that shook their heads. They did not. And I feel sorry for them because you know what? Nobody took the time with them to tell them how good or how bad or what they could do differently. And that's a shame. They're not easy to do if they're done right. They're easy to do if they're done badly. You can knock them out in a couple hours and they're really crummy and they don't say anything. But if you do them right, they're laborious and probably from a management standpoint, one of the toughest things to do. They really take time if you do them right. If you do it right, you're going to have employees that are motivated, recognized. There are employees that you can be turned around with a proper evaluation. They just know they're being watched. So as to the compensation issue, that would be a dialogue I think we could have. We could, you know, there's all sorts of issues and functionality about how you tie comp to it, and especially if you've got represented employees that it's really not relevant. But you know what? Every employee here, everyone, including some council members like myself, deserve an evaluation about how they're doing and an overview. I would appreciate it. So I think that is something that I would support wholeheartedly, really putting the time into those and maintaining a good, solid structure to our performance evaluations, both pre and post. You know, something that I'd like to know as I'm going into the year what you want me to focus on, and I want to know how I did. So both of those, that's my two cents.
Bond and Cavallari.
So specifically focusing on law enforcement, I wouldn't want to be a resident in a city where a cop decided that he could impact his income by writing tickets or making arrests or something else. And that's just human nature. If you dangle a carrot and somebody wants that carrot, sometimes that impacts their decision making. And so now just directly on the law enforcement side, we compensate them, what's fair, we trust them to make good decisions, and then we hold them accountable through the sergeants and the management of their decisions and how they write the reports and what they're doing, but it's not tied to income. And that is actually in the interest of just avoiding corruption. Yes.
Cavallari.
Thanks, Mayor. I'll be brief. Private sector and public sector, I don't need to tell most people that they're two totally different animals. I would think that, especially in the public sector, your goal is, like to use the police department as an example, your goal is to retain employees, is to constantly seek out those 10, 20, 25-year guys that stick it out the whole time. And step increments, that's kind of what that gets you. So if you use Mark's example of, you know, you got to write more tickets to maybe you'll get a bonus that year. Yeah, I mean, this again, it goes back to what I said. It's ripe for abuse. We do have employee recognition programs. There's money set aside for that, so I think if you want to give more to recognize good employees, I think it can be accomplished. There's a form and a mechanism for that, but I support the merit-based system. I think it's how you attract and it's how you retain good employees in the government circle.
This is only for consideration tonight.
I wanted to make a comment about the paper performance because I've been part of local government for 30 years. Half my career was supportive of a total variable pay system, total paper performance, and the other half was unlinking pay from performance. And so I've come full circle. And the policy that you have in here, at least the one that you're repealing, is a remake of a policy that I introduced when I was a city manager here back in 97 or 98 or 99, somewhere in there, where we were introducing and we tried to implement a total variable pay system which had didn't have COLAs, much like Sound Transit, where COLAs were folded in to a 0 to 6 or a 0 to 7% spread as an increase. We also had team bonuses, had some other types of bonuses, and it tried to implement that for the 11 years that I was here. And it was a challenge. Not only was it a cultural shift in any organization when you try to do that, it was very difficult, and the lost productivity that you would have with employees just complaining about the fact that we're doing business differently. But you also have to recognize that our competition in the local government market is based on other employers doing pretty much the same thing that we're doing here, which is a step longevity system. And so when your market is paying you X for doing a satisfactory job, and now you have another employer like the city of Mill Creek come in and say, well, wait a minute, you're going to have to earn that and be exceptional in order to get what the market is paying, just the acceptable level. That was a challenging aspect. That combined with the fact that I think at the time I maybe had 50 employees here, half of them were represented by CBAs, represented employees. They didn't have that. And so you had that internal equity issue that you're constantly battling with. And the thing that really sort of turned me that unlinking pay for performance, at least in small organizations, because the effort that you got or the value that you got, I saw so much energy going in to try to implement it with training, with making sure that you really truly, in order for someone to get that 7 or 8% that exceptional reward, someone's going to have to get lower than the average in order to make that system work. And the spread just wasn't big enough in Mill Creek. And so if you wanted to do pay for performance, one thing you might consider is keeping the spread the same as you have it right now, because that's what the market's representing that other people are paying. But then you create a extra level, several extra steps that you truly reward performance. So you're not penalizing those that are what the market says they should be paid. You're actually truly rewarding those who are exceeding the market expectations. So just some thoughts of someone who's tried doing it in this organization and in another organization, and particularly just found that I think it's better off just spend your energy elsewhere rather than trying to get it through here.
Councilmember Todd?
That can be engineer level one is worth 65 to 95 in the market, instead of going from 65 to 70 to 75 to 80 to 80 through these steps based on that number of years, a young superstar gets a 10% increase because, man, you are way knocking out of the park. Yeah, you started at the lowest level when we hired you, but you are moving along, and that's really motivating to those guys. And if you want people to work, if you want good people to work in the public sector, you got to be able to do that because that's what happens in the private sector. So without outing my son, I will say that that's exactly, he took a low salary at a public sector company and said, I get it, but I'm going to work my butt off and I'm going to go faster than everybody else. And so the fact he could go faster was an incentive for him to work for kind of a not the most exciting company. But he knows he can get ahead and get some experience and important things. If you put that kind of person, if you manage to get a good kid out of college or a good person to come from somewhere else
and all you get is the same as everybody else, which is 4% a year, no matter what you do, you don't get those best people. Now, if other governments all doing this, for us to be the outlier, maybe that's just impossible. And that, I get it. This could be just difficult to implement. But the ability to incentivize the best and the brightest is what we'd love to have in government. And you're right. If somebody wants to make dot-com salaries, crazy stuff with VC monies where they're not profitable, but they're just throwing money at people, go for it. You can work your butt off at Amazon, have a great time, and think you're making a lot of money and end up with gray hair earlier than you should. But regular companies out there, profitable companies, make these systems work at all levels, small and big, because they work. They help you get help you keep the best and brightest.
I would say if council wants us to go in a direction of creating more of that type of system, what I would ask is you allow us to memorialize these policies by your adoption, at least to reflect current practice, so we can sort of put them aside, because implementing that kind of system will take many months of development to make sure we get it right. And it's not something I think you should wait on. In other words, adopt these policies, and if you want us to revisit the pay for a compensation plan, we can do that next year.
I'm willing to have the conversation, and in theory I like what your goal is. I just think it's really hard here. Like, Microsoft can tell whether they did a good job or not because they've got profits or losses. How do you rate someone might see a police officer. I sit in front of Sultan High School or elementary school when I have downtime, when the kids are coming and going. Someone might see me sitting there. One person might go, I'm so glad he's here. He's making our kids safe. Another guy's going, man, that guy's not doing anything. You know, really what matters is, does my sergeant know what I'm doing, and is he comfortable or she comfortable with that, and am I implementing the vision of my management? And, of course, I am. That's why I'm there. But a payroll person who's grinding it out and boom and stamping and signing and doing all the payroll stuff and then takes their 15-minute break and then back at it. I mean, how do you – it's really hard to go, well, that one got four more vouchers done than the other one. How do we here say, wow, that one went the extra mile. That engineer did that extra mile. It's more challenging in implication than it might seem as a
– But remember, this policy doesn't apply to the – police officer or that accounting technician. It applies to our managers and our supervisors.
That's it.
And a few just
non-representative
and a few people. Knowledge workers who are not. But this is only the non-represented folks. I agree with you. It's really tough to do. I come back and say, if the chief says, I'm going to grade you on how many tickets you write, you're right. He'll get that.
But I thought but you look were at his trying to get us that. To go to something for everybody.
No, I'm trying to say this policy, which only applies to the non-represented folks, that we consider doing what I think is important and maybe is more reflective of what's in the private sector, if we want to attract people to this career where old gray-haired folks are retiring out and we're not getting new people into government in a global sense. This is a big issue that AWC talks about.
So you just
want
to keep it for the small group but not expand it beyond.
Right. Yeah, because this part of the policy, at least, is only about the non-represented.
Just like I changed my opinion on sort of paper performance versus step plans. This is not a universal sort of agreement on this subject. I mean, there's lots of literature out there that support variable pay systems, as well as there's a lot of literature out there that tell people you should not link pay to performance. So it's really a philosophical point of view, and whatever your organization thinks you can implement. I'm just saying the challenge is in the local government sector is difficult given who our market is.
If we said to Laura, you can give us no more than 20 pages of really good background material, the primer on how you do HR, Laura and the entire and Charlie and the whole staff or whatever, give us some reading material, I think it'd be interesting for folks to read through that and say, oh, here's the pros and cons. I don't think they have to generate that. I think they probably could find some stuff out of HR 101 class, you know, book you guys took as freshmen or something or other. This is pretty basic, not
some
real
of
basic.
Some of us have been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, so tapping into their expertise, because this is out of the wheelhouse for some of us.
Does it give the appearance of sick? I was just going to mention that whether you're represented or not represented, I spent 8 years in healthcare where we administered performance evaluations to employees that were part of collective bargaining agreements, just to help them evaluate their performance. Now, contracts aside, that set their compensation. So you have a hard time when you connect the two. But just because someone is represented doesn't mean it's not a bad idea to try and look and see if there's a way. Even in your case, which was an interesting one. If I'm a police officer, how am I evaluate? How would I? What kind of a value would they give on this action versus that action? If we could get there, I'm not saying we can't, but if we can get there, I think that's a wonderful goal for the city.
Mark said about, you know, how do you measure this? I'll tell you kind of what I've been waiting for. We have a tool to do it now. We have new managers. You have people who have been waiting for this opportunity. You've got people who can design the program. What I've been waiting for is actually to connect people's goals to the council goals. And for a long time, we didn't have them. And I'm like, Rebecca, what are the council goals? Because I would flow everything off there, because then it doesn't come down to tickets. Does giving tickets relate to one of the council goals of, you know, public safety or whatever? What people have to get measured on is the council goals that you guys set out. So it'd be really good to connect this discussion to your retreat, I think, or close to it. And I could get information for you, too, like you asked for.
And you may be able to get a collective bargaining agreement or represent an employee group that doesn't have binding arbitration to agree to a variable pay system, but you'll never get a binding ARB entity to agree to for a pay for performance. It's not going to happen in this state.
We can build consistencies into the different groups and try to keep them, keep our values consistent, but they're different.
So what kind of consistency do we have if we're telling one group that you're pay for play, the next group, hey, you have a contract, so you're covered, don't worry about it. In the public sector, I don't like what that says about us. I would certainly be open to hearing what the employees have to say, the managers have to say. I think that's a good conversation to have, whether it's some sort of survey. Writes it or who doesn't. I think if you want to move forward on something like that, I support the amendments. I like the way it's written. I think you've done well here. The pay for play, it just seems unfair to choose one group of workers for whatever reason.
To me, it's not about performance-based pay. It's having a mechanism to create some incentive and reward for people who do a good job above and beyond what they're already earning in their salary. I think you touched on that in one of your comments. I mean, to me, the idea would be whether or not we allocate every biennium or every year a certain amount of money, fill in the blank, to the city manager and leave it to the city manager's discretion how he or she uses that or doesn't use it to reward employees. I'm not one that I want to start trying to figure out a system of how we document writing pay for performance, but I think we would be simpler to come up with a reward mechanism or at least a system that the city manager could use or not use at his or her discretion.
That's what the 2009 version was.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that
very well, but it was just too complicated for folks. But that was the motivation behind it, was how do we incentivize people, particularly we had long in the tooth employees, you know, who maybe are at the top of the range. How do we find some other way to continue to incentivize somebody who's at the top of the range and is not going to get to another spot?
Okay, well, good discussion. We'll be bringing this back next week. Sorry, what? Yeah, I know. I was just wrapping this up.
So I've got some questions. Other than that, I started off on this one big one. Can I throw a couple other questions?
Now we need to extend the meeting.
Move to extend to 9 o'clock.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to extend to 9 o'clock. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. And we don't need to use all
that. Okay. So quick question maybe. City council members are named somewhere. And so I'm looking at the administrative manual, which isn't really our purview, but it does reflect on us, and it's also a kind of a codification of what the policies are. City council members sometimes are mentioned and sometimes are not. I would just suggest going through and looking at where our city managers, city council members are not full-time, they're not part-time, they're not temps, they're not the other category, casuals, I don't think. So therefore, some gems you go, how do you handle them? That's thing one. Thing two was, this has got a lot of good, this is a great manual overall, but you kind of danced around or didn't try to codify things that were kind of out of your sphere of influence. But I would say some of these systems ought to either reflect or explicitly exclude our relationship with the city manager.
Talking about in this policy
manual. In the thick one, yeah. So, for instance, the hiring process for the city manager and the benefits and the way we do that is kind of in violation with this book, but it says it covers all employees. So the city manager and employee, yeah, but they got a contract. So you might just reflect that if somebody has an employment contract, this doesn't apply, or wrap it in as a special section, or at least just think it through. I think there's a couple of things where I was thinking my job, our job as city council people, we've got this one employee. Do they fit under this policy, or is there exceptions? And so there might be a couple little things. I've got some specific notes that help you with that. The other one we just ran into, again, I think you guys have codified what you could do really well, but you put the whistleblower process in here. It probably is exactly what our process is, but one thing is I think it should – we as a council need to talk about the whistleblower policy right now. It is if somebody isn't happy with the city manager, it has to go to the city attorney, and then it became something we could not participate in. I think the public is frustrated. I think we are frustrated. That needs to get reviewed. Maybe it fits into this. Again, if it covers all employees or except the city manager, it's either in this manual or not. The second part of that is that the whistleblower policy for employees, I personally think it should go up the chain of command. If it's your manager, you go one above them, but it says right now you could go to your supervisor, the city manager, or the city attorney. I don't really want somebody to take their complaint directly to the city attorney because we love Scott, but he's more the high price spread sometimes. So I would love to see if we think that's a good way to do it is to have kind of work up the chain if you can for whistleblower or harassment and what's the other one, violence kinds of things like that. Make sure that that's not restricted to the point where an employee can't do what they need to do, but that we make sure we kind of have some cost control potentially.
I would hope that we could get some advice from Scott, not necessarily tonight, because I had the exact opposite impression. My desire as a lawyer, my initial reaction was I'd want them to go to the city attorney, because if they go to someone else, my concern is anything that's done after that is potentially retaliatory.
Okay.
So it's a
discussion.
And state law, for the most part, says it should go up the chain of command, but you have to provide alternatives in case that doesn't work. And what happened last year was one of those alternatives that didn't work. Nobody left. So I think that policy actually complies with state law, but I haven't been working with the staff on this, so.
We have had the policies reviewed by WCAA.
Good.
So they've given opinion on our policies, and they accept those policies.
That's good, then.
These policies, somebody's, you should know that generally they also do apply to the city manager's position to the extent that it's different with a collective bargaining agreement or in this city manager agreement, then those would be laid out in that agreement. You also have a protocol manual, too, that you may want to revisit in terms of your interaction with the city manager as it deals with certain aspects of sort of how things are done. But generally, these policies are going to apply to all your employees. Your interaction with the city manager is either going to be in your protocol manual or in some document that you've actually executed with that person.
So we'll have more discussion next week. Anything else tonight?
Okay, with that, we're moving on to reports. I have two. One, the tree lighting was amazing. We had more people than we have ever had. Santa Claus was so good with the kids. It was just great to watch. The choir was outstanding as always. And I just love the Jackson Percussion Band. But I think we had, the pictures look like we had more. I know that I tried to come in here to get my packet, and there was no way to move. So I just left. But it was, I mean, we had so many people. And I know it's little things, like we had big chocolate, big
sugar cookies for the kids to paint and piles of frosting everywhere. So I thought it was a very successful event. Like I said, more people. The other thing is that I was recently appointed as an alternate for the Enhanced 911 Advisory Committee. I'm representing the Western states, Western cities, and I'm for Washington Association of Cities. And this group provides the military department with essential advice on, it says, operations of the statewide E911 program. There's 30 members of the board, and we'll be reviewing and advising the department on criteria, standards, guidelines for program funding and operations. So it's going to be exciting. CSRS is wrapping up its last meeting is this week. Scott Eastman's going to be there with me this Thursday, and then excited about this 911 because it doesn't hurt to have good representation here, not just Mill Creek, but all of our cities and stuff. So with that, Councilmember Bond?
No report. No report.
No report, Mayor.
Real quick, it's out in the future, but the last week of March, the Community Transit has announced that that's going to be opening the Swift Line. They are ahead of budget. They're under budget, ahead of schedule. And sure enough about it that they announced it and invited our two state senators. We invited them last week, stood right there and said, Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell, please come to the ribbon-cutting event. So they're pretty sure if they're going to do that. So that is going to have an impact on the city. I don't know where that ribbon-cutting is going to happen, but there will be all kinds of inaugural events when those buses first start running. So it's something that our staff can sure coordinate in terms of – I would love to have people, at least if they're riding the bus by, be – thinking this Mill Creek's a cool place to come back to, because I think we're having an opportunity for dignitaries to be here, and it's a chance for us to put out our welcome mat. So put that on our long-term calendar. Thanks.
Just that it's a busy week on the 11th. Some of these items are on the calendar, may fall off depending upon their readiness by tomorrow. So.
Okay. Audience communication? Will?
Will Nelson, 14925 29th Drive Southeast, Mill Creek. When I first seen the agenda, this senior citizen thing was listed in the agenda, and then it got removed. That's why I made the comments about the agenda for the farm, that it be published and adhered to so that everybody gets a fair shake at being able to come to the council meeting and hear the discussions and give their comments. As far as performance reviews, that's a hot button for me, or used to be. I'm 74. I only had to work 31 years. I did well, I guess. During that 31 years, I only had 4 performance reviews written, 3 in the Army. And all I was interested in there is the words that got me the rating, that got me the promotion, the next officer rank higher. The words were important. The other one, well, that was that company's policy, and I refused to sign it. So you can guess what it said. Me and my manager parted ways shortly after. I'm not a fan of performance reviews in government. I think you should stay with the STEP program, and if people don't perform, you hold them accountable that way. Thank you.
Barbara Heidel, 1401, 144th Place, Southeast, Mill Creek. I want to say thank you immensely for giving us, not just me, but us, the $2,500 this year. And no, we're not going to sit on our laurels. Worked hard trying to find a place. Hopefully we're getting the North Shore, is getting a grant writer. So we're hoping we'll be able to start writing grants to get the money. So we're not going to just sit back. We're going to try to find a solution. So, but thank you so much. I can now sleep. Thank you.
Okay, with that, if there's nothing else for the good of the order, we are adjourned at 8:40.
They go on.